Praise the Lord. God bless you. It's nice to be here with you this morning. Thank you, musicians. News flash. The gas hasn't been turned back on, so we don't have heat. So it's amazing to me that 5 minutes after us saying we want the heat to go away, that we want it to come back. Well, praise the Lord. United with the Eternal One, Part 5. I'd like to read from Isaiah chapter 57, and then we'll read a few scriptures from Hebrews chapter 9. Isaiah 57. Brother John, he was listening on the hookup on Wednesday night, and he says, "Oh, yeah, I guess I, after what you said on Wednesday night, I'm not supposed to hug you." He's not sick any longer, and I'm not sick, so it's when you had a fever last night. Or you still have one, that you should maybe think twice about giving somebody a hug and then telling them that you're sick. We trust in our Lord, and He is our Savior, and He's our healer, but you know, we need to use a little wisdom along the way as well. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity." Now, this is Spirit God. There is no other. "Whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit." "To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one." So if we want fellowship with God, we know that absolute requirement is humility. And contrition. Contrition means I want to be right. And I don't care what it takes, but I want to be right. And humility is, it's all about you, Lord. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13. "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." So notice, we talk about the blood of Christ, and we know it's essential, and the shedding of it was essential, but without the eternal Spirit, it would be of none effect. "And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, or the Old Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." Notice, this is for those that were called, that were under the First Testament. Not everybody's called. Let's bow our heads. Father, we come to you this morning truly with thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord, and we thank you for the wonderful news of the restoration of our sanctuary, Lord. And Father, we want to rededicate our lives and our members, Lord, and our zeal to serve you, Lord, as we prepare to transition back, Lord, into the place that you provided for us. We are eternally grateful, Lord, and we just ask for just special blessings, Lord, on our trustee board and, Lord, all the many others that have been involved in this project, Lord, and we just ask that you just bless them mightily, Lord. We thank you for their service to the rest of us. And we thank you first and foremost, but we know that you work through a body, and so we thank you for those that have surrendered themselves and submitted themselves and allowed you to operate and to use them, Lord, for your service. Now, Father, we pray that you'd be in the remainder of this service, Lord, every part of this service, that you'd minister to those that are out sick, Lord, as we go through this season when different things are going around, but you are a healer, Lord, and we confess you as our healer, and we claim the blood, we claim the promises. Father, may your blessings be upon each and every one this morning as your word goes forth, and may we receive the portion, Lord, that we have need of, and may it be quickened by your Spirit. And Father, we don't want to leave without making love to you, without expressing our love to you, Lord, and no doubt there are many needs here this morning, but Lord, you know every need, and you've supplied for every need. So help us, Lord, to as we sit at your feet, to receive what you have for us. We ask these things in your precious name, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I was thinking that air conditioner was working pretty good there in the back office. There's a vent blowing right down on me, and I thought, wow, that's impressive. Yeah. Hallelujah. Excuse me. I'd like to also read a quote from the last time that we, last Sunday, as we were speaking on this subject, from the message, The Law Having a Shadow. Brother Ram says, your love ought to be to Christ. Undefiled. But Satan perverts that love to something of the world. He perverts it. So then when he perverted good to wrong, and he took angels with him, a little block fell out of this perfect circle of eternity and dropped down to a place called time. And recall we showed a picture of the circle of eternity, and we showed what Brother Bram called a little hickey in that circle, just a little breach, a little portion that came out of eternity, and we call that time. And of course, since there is no time in eternity, you can't really draw it to scale, because that little blip that we call time compared to eternity is nothing. But nevertheless, we showed that little place where we entered into time and then we go back into eternity. He says, a little block fell out of that perfect circle of eternity and dropped down to a place called time. It come in right here, and it goes around, and it goes out right over here. So time begins, time ends. It's dropping down from eternity. We go right back into eternity. Eternity exists right on down through time. So we've been looking at the circle called eternity, and how that time was a creation that exists outside of eternity and then joins again with eternity when time is no more. And we also looked at the fact that eternity exists outside of time because there's no such thing as time in eternity. And eternity exists while time exists, because eternity always is. And we looked at the fact that when we talk about eternity and when we talk about the word eternal, we're talking about more than just the fact that something is without time. Although that is certainly true, but there are other things that we're talking about when we talk about eternal and eternity. You see, there are qualities to things that are eternal that are not expressed in time. And then there are some things that are expressed in time that don't exist in eternity. because they are not attributes of the Eternal One. And we know that God desired to express attributes or characteristics of Himself in time. And there are many other attributes of Himself that will continue to unfold to us throughout eternity. It won't be boring on the other side. And we know that God chose attributes within Himself to express in time. And these attributes are His offspring. Or children, because they were in Him and they flowed from Him. And once they are expressed in time, then they will return back to Him, where they will continue to know Him, and they will continue to be known by Him, and they will fellowship with Him, and with all of the other expressed eternal attributes that were expressed by Him and from Him. So when we say, for instance, God is love. Well, we come to know His love in time, and we fellowship with and we know His love now, and we will know His love throughout eternity through the manifested Redeemer and also through those who have been redeemed, because in them is love expressed. We know that He's a Savior because He expressed the attribute of Savior through the Redeemer. And we will know and have fellowship with the Redeemer throughout eternity. We will no longer call Him Savior because that work is finished. But He still is the expression of the attribute of a Savior. He will only express Himself as Redeemer in time. So we will only know Him as Redeemer in time. Because that's where we're being redeemed. And what we are being saved from will only exist in time. Now stay with me for a moment. Sickness, sorrow, sadness, these are all S words, I guess. I don't know how I got on that. Despair, poverty, unbelief, murder, destruction, disease, death. Getting into the D words. These things only exist in time. They did not exist in eternity, so they will not exist in eternity, and they are not attributes of the Eternal One. These things that are not eternal, they came into being in time through the operation of free will. Now, it's hard for us to understand how things that are not a part of God could come into being in time if they're not eternal. But these other things that we just mentioned, they're not eternal. And we see them come into being as a result of the operation of free will. Now, this will become a little clearer here in just a moment. God did not create Lucifer and say, "You're a devil." He didn't make him a devil. He was created to be a covering angel. He was right next to God, except for creation. Right next to the attribute of the fullness of God, the Son of God, God created into His own creation. Recall that God's thoughts are eternal, but then God condescended. God created a body for Himself, which we call the Logos. And God took His thoughts and the attribute of the fullness of God and He condescended into the Logos and began to create and began to speak. We call that the Son of God, but it's God in another form. God condescending, God expressing Himself. And God created Lucifer. And Lucifer was right next to God in this form. Right next to the attribute of the fullness of God, which is Jesus Christ. But before He was Jesus Christ, He was the Logos. And He's still the Logos. But Satan did not and does not have the ability to create. Only the Creator creates. But Satan was given free will to choose. And instead of choosing to stay in the position that he was created to possess, in other words, to stay with the Word, and the Word was the Logos, the Word is the thoughts of God condescending into a created form that then, from that form, he could then speak and express God's thoughts in time. So God created himself into time in the beginning. And the beginning was before he created the worlds. He had to create himself before he could create the worlds. So the Word of God is the very person of God expressed in time. If you know him, you know the Father. Lucifer chose to depart from the person of God or the Word of God. And instead of believing God and instead of staying in his position, his God-given position as protector of the Word, he chose by free will to instead impersonate the Word. To declare himself to be the expression of the person of the Word. To put himself into the position where he's worshipped rather than the Word. And since he is not the Word, and how many agrees? Lucifer is not the Word, because the Word will not return unto him void. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or tittle. Lucifer will pass away. Since he is not the Word, there are no eternal qualities to his makeup. Now the word impersonator, it means to assume the character or appearance of, especially fraudulently, like impersonate a police officer, to imitate the appearance, voice, or manner of, to mimic an entertainer who impersonates celebrities. Sometimes they say that imitator of, like the Elvis impersonators, he's more like Elvis than Elvis was. There are synonyms to the word, words that are similar words that have the same meaning, but they're different words. Beguiler is an impersonator. A cheater, a deceiver, a trickster, a slicker, a cheat. Someone who leads you to believe something that is not true. A mimicker. So Lucifer chose instead to claim to be the Word when he wasn't the Word. Listen to me. I'm the real Word. Don't listen to him. And recall that the Eternal One condescended by becoming the Word in order to create, in order to express in time his eternal thoughts. And since he is the Word, he is the truth. And anything that is not the Word is therefore a lie. Let every man's word be a lie and God's word be true, the scripture says. So Satan is an impersonator of the Word, which means he's a lie. A lie is a misrepresentation of the truth. And only the Word is the truth. So anything else is a lie. But lies are not eternal. Somebody say, praise God. Lies are not eternal. It's a temporary thing. Sickness is not eternal. It's a lie. But the Word is eternal. And the Word cannot be changed. And it cannot change. So those attributes of God that were called, as we read in the scripture, that were chosen in Him, are part of Him and are being expressed. Now Jesus said in John chapter 8 verse 32, He says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, there was a period of time, perhaps, Maybe you're still thinking along these lines, but there was a period of time when we looked at this and we thought, well, what he's saying is you shall be taught and have some understanding and be given some information that's true, and that'll make you free. But that's not what this is saying. When we come to the recognition that there's only one that's true, and that's Him. There's only one that's true, and that's the Word. What He's really saying is, you shall know Jesus Christ personally. You shall know Him. And to know Him will set you free. But what is it setting you free from? Lies. Oh, well, it'll break on you here in a moment. He is the Word. And He is the expressed image of the attribute of the fullness of the eternal Spirit God. God cannot be seen. God cannot be known. He cannot be touched. Spirit God, no man has seen Him at any time. You can't see God. Even Moses saw God, looked upon Him. He didn't actually see Spirit God. Because you can't. But what he saw was God veiled. So only the Word is true. So if you came from God, notice Jesus Christ is the attribute of the fullness of God. Everything that God was thinking, everything that God is, was expressed in Jesus Christ. If you came from God, you are an attribute of His thinking. You're not the fullness. I can't say, well, you know, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But if you've seen me, you've seen a portion of the Father, because I came out of Him. And I'm an expression of a portion of what was in Him. If you see the entire body of Christ on the earth, you're seeing the expression of God on the earth. So, if you came from God, you will know God. The person of God, Jesus Christ. The Word of God will reveal Himself to you and will set you free from the lies of the devil. Amen. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, truth is a person. You shall know Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ will set you free. From what? Lies. Anything that isn't Him. So you and I have been given free will. And so this life in time is a choosing time. You choose whether to stand on the side of truth or you choose to stand with the impersonator of truth, which is Lucifer. And the one that you agree with is the one that you will know. And that's the one that you will serve. And that's the one that you will see manifested in your life. And that will become your reality. So the Word tells you, I have healed all of your diseases. I am the Lord that healeth thee. By my stripes you are healed. Now that's what the Word says. And when you say amen to that Word, when you say that's nothing but the truth, you are set free from sickness. Because the truth just sets you free. Jesus Christ just set you free. The Word set you free. The Word says one thing. The lie of the devil says something else. And the lie of the devil is sickness. Oh, I so appreciate how God orchestrates every service. And we don't talk about it ahead of time. But Brother Eli's prayer just fed right into this topic this morning. If you are part of the lie, the impersonator of truth, you will come to know the lie and to believe the lie and to defend the lie. And we were all, when we came to the earth, we were all bound by the lie when we were born. And so those that are a part of the lie will remain bound by the lie and will not choose to be set free by the truth. They will find and instead heap to themselves teachers. Notice it's people choosing teachers. telling them what they want the teachers to say. They chose the spies to go in and tell them if the land was good or not. They called the ministry together and said, make us a golden calf. They will heap to themselves, as the word says in Timothy, they will heap to themselves, having itching ears, they will heap to themselves teachers that will tell them the lies that they want to hear. And that is their reality. They are lovers of what they are. Deceivers of the true word. Now, it sounds harsh, but this is it, friends. This is what we're all caught up in. They are offspring of the impersonator of the word. You're either an offspring of the word or you're an offspring of the impersonator of the word. But there are many that do not have an eternal attribute coming from the thoughts of God that's dwelling down on the inside of them that will be saved. Because the truth was told to them. They were told that He would save them if they believed on Him. And they will be given eternal life at the great white throne judgment. And they will be carried over into eternity. John 8:33. So I'll read verse 32 again. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered Him, we be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? They didn't get what He was saying. We were all born slaves to doubt. All of us. To the lie. Slaves to Lucifer, who is the father of all lies. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. So only the eternal attributes, only the truth doesn't sin. The word doesn't sin. And when you're born again of the Spirit of God, when you die out to yourself and you're crucified and that gene is quickened that's down on the inside, that part of you believes. It's part of the word. You can't deny the word anymore. You can deny yourself. That part is sinless, spotless. Because it's the word. It's the truth. In our first birth, we're all servants of Lucifer because of the sins of our mom and dad in the garden. So He says, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. Notice this. And the servant abideth not in the house forever. The servant has a beginning in the house and an ending in the house. Servant to sin for a period of time. But the Son abideth ever. So only sons will abide forever because they were always sons. The servant is temporary. The servant is something in time. When you know the truth, you're awakened to your sonship. He reveals to you, hey, I showed you who I am. Now I'm going to show you who you are. I'm not going to make you a son. You always were a son. You just didn't know it. The prodigal son was a son before he left his father's house. He came to himself and then came back to his father's house. Hallelujah. So when you know the truth, you are awakened to your sonship. You don't become a Christian when you come down to the altar. When you come down to the altar, you repent, die out to yourself, and you come to the recognition that you are sons and daughters of God. There's only one form of eternal life. And you cease at that moment to live as a temporary servant of sin. And you start to live as a son or daughter of God. Now the flesh, you're going to make mistakes in the flesh. And you're going to have to say you're sorry until this sorry thing is dragged to a body change. because God's not through with this part yet. But inside, down in the core of you, in your soul, what's driving you is different. What's driving you is faith in God's word. What's driving you is only believe. What's driving you is, I believe your word, the whole word, nothing but the word. So you're no longer doubting God's word. Sin is doubt. The attributes of sin are things that you do because you doubt. Verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. The Son is the truth. The Son is the Word. Free from the bondage of the lie. Lucifer no longer dictates what's reality to you, but now the Word dictates. The Word says, Satan says you're sick. The Word says, no, you're not. Now, which one are you going to believe? Which one are you going to align your by choice? Which one are you going to stand with? The one that you stand with will be your reality. Verse 37, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Now his word is the truth. There's no truth in them. There's no attribute of God in them. He's telling them, you weren't a thought which became the word. You're not the truth. I am, he says. Now, he goes on to say, I speak that which I have seen with my Father. And you do that which you have seen with your Father. Scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Verse 39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. Simple. If you're a son or daughter of God, you'll do the works of God. Now you have to be awoke to that. So notice, they were Abraham's seed. They said they were. Jesus didn't argue with them. But then they come along and say, Abraham's our father. He said, if you were his children, you would do the works of Abraham. So wait a minute. We're Abraham's seed. You didn't argue with us. And we're Abraham's children. And you said, no, you're not. They are Abraham's seed, but they are not Abraham's children according to the promise. They are children to the slightly doubted word of God. Ishmael is the result of a slightly doubted word. Sarah said, oh, I believe your word, but it's not going to come through me. It's going to come through this better-looking church over here. This younger, newfangled, new generation. Modern. Hagar. Same father, different mother. Slightly doubted word. Look what it produced. Verse 40, but now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Abraham didn't tell you this. I'm telling you though. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. So in other words, they're saying to him, we're not the children of doubt. We're born of the word. And here's the word saying, no, you're not. I don't find you in my word. And my word's not in you. You don't even understand me. They are children of the right act, perverted. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you'd love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. I am the expression of God to you. He says, why don't you understand my speech? Because you can't hear my word. Truth is not revealed to them. Why? Scripture said they had not a love of the truth. So they're given over to a strong delusion to believe the lie. And the lie is Satan. You are of your father, the devil. Oh, that's mean. It's truth. If I looked at a dog that was a cross between a German Shepherd and a Chihuahua, and the German Shepherd was the father, and I said to that dog, you're of your father, the German Shepherd, am I being mean to the Chihuahua part? I know it's an ugly image to get in your mind, but go down to Mexico and you see a hound dog with legs this long, but a full-grown head and body. And you think, how did that happen? He said, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. He was a protector of the truth in the beginning. But he chose not to abide in the truth because there's no truth in him. He's not the Word made manifest. When he speaketh a lie, he's speaking of his own, for he's a liar. Why don't you just say that this morning? Devil, you're a liar. Why do we listen to him? You say, oh, I don't, but we do. Nobody loves me. That's a lie. Well, I got a couple of amens. Somebody's still listening to the devil saying, no. It's a lie. I challenge you to show me that in the Word. The Word is the truth. The Word does not say, nobody loves you. It says, for God so loved that He gave. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Why? Truth begets truth. Lies beget lies. So God wrote His Word before the foundation of the world. He thought everything out, and then He created the Logos, the pillar of fire, in this form. He created Himself into His own creation. He poured His thoughts into the Logos and began to speak. And He's revealed it in types and shadows and but then in the fullness of the Word, when the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we receive that Word by faith. We believe it by faith. And one day, faith will be replaced by sight. Without faith, one needs proof in order to accept something to be so. But faith is the proof. You believe it because God said it. But one day, it becomes substance. So man tries to understand God, but cannot see God through carnal understanding. In fact, if God hadn't have condescended, the elect would not have seen Him either. Those that were in His thinking, that were being expressed here on the earth, they wouldn't know Him either. They wouldn't know the truth, and the truth, God had to condescend in order for us to know the truth. The truth is a person. So God chose to condescend in order to reveal Himself. And we begin to get glimpses of Him, and at the same time glimpses of ourselves and of others through the revealing, because God is light. And when He reveals truth to you, you can see we were walking in darkness as everyone else was. But as He reveals truth to us, we begin to see things. Begin to see who we really are, who God really is, who others are around us, what our place is, what our position is, what's a lie and what's true. Our eyes are open, and the light of God's Word illuminates what is here. And what is here was here before God illuminated our eyes. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Now recall, Paul is taking the Old Testament. He's the first one to do this, and he's the master builder, and he's doing it under inspiration as God's showing him how Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of all of these types and shadows of the Old Testament. And so he's taking those types and shadows of the Old Testament and he's merging it with what Jesus became. And the purpose of it is to illuminate to us the mystery that God had in his mind before the foundation of the world that he's wanting to express. So the types and the shadows that are expressed to us under the Old Testament, which is the old will of God, if you will, and the New Testament is the new will or New Testament. Jesus comes as the testator of the new will of God or New Testament of God. And he has the power and the authority to replace things that are in the old will. To eliminate, to replace, to add to. And without the spirit of the testator, we can't understand the will, old or new. We read the Bible, and without the one that wrote the Bible, who is the testator, we can't understand it. And that's why preachers that don't have the spirit of the testator, they don't understand the will of God. That's why they can't rightly divide the will of God, or the which is the Old and New Testament. And make sense out of what he said. They try to understand. Now think about it this way. Because it's written this way on purpose. Somebody dies. They leave a will. Some lawyers get together. And in some cases they try to interpret what he meant by what he said. Right? It's written in the will. And you can't change the will at that point. It is what it is. But if you never knew the guy that wrote the will, how can you say for sure that you understood his intentions? So they try to understand what the testator meant by what he said. And we've got, I don't know how many different denominations that are all saying, well, no, this is what he meant by what he said. And so they read the will based on their own denominational thinking, their own denominational background. One will read it and will say, well, you know, all you have to do is believe to be saved, right? And they can show you and they can say, that's in the will. And I can show you where it's at in the will. And you know what I say to that? Amen. It's true. But the will also speaks of those that are sealed. And there's more to it to be sealed than just saying, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, in this will, there are things that are given to different classes of people. Just as there is in the natural. Oh, friends. Normally, in a healthy family relationship, there are things that are given to the offspring of the one that left the will that aren't given to anybody else. But out of compassion and out of love, and there are things that are given to other ones as well. So the will of God is the word of God. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is his will? It's his word. Where's his word? In heavenly places, waiting to become flesh. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, how much more shall he purge your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God? How did he do this? Well, we know that God can't die. We know that God didn't go to the cross and die. And yet he tasted death. We know that God can't be tempted. The word declares that. God can't be tempted. And yet, when he manifested himself in a flesh being, he was tempted in all ways. So when we look at Jesus Christ, who is God, the Word of God becoming flesh, condescending, it's the same one that became the Word is the same one that became flesh. He was totally man. That's where people really stumble. Can't seem to rightly divide or put this together. Well, it takes God to reveal it to you. It's first base. Without a revelation of Jesus Christ to you personally, you can't get anywhere. He was totally man, and he was totally God. He was totally man in the sense that he was a physical being, just like you and I. And yes, he got scrapes on his knees, and I don't think they had unguentine back then for mama to put on his knees, but he cried. You guys are too quiet. You see, if you don't get the right picture, that just sounded like blasphemy. Well, no, he was all God, and so he didn't this, that. You know. Then how does he know what you're going through? His law required one like you, a man, to take your place. But there was no man. So God made a man. And that man was himself. God creating a man that was the reflection of himself with a perfect soul. A spotless soul without original sin. A soul that was the reflection of God here on the earth, but had a will. So, just being totally man wasn't enough. And just being totally God wasn't enough. He had to be a God man. Hope somebody's listening. You catch this, you'll catch a little bit about yourself. Oh, God saved me because he felt sorry for me. Give me a break. He died on the cross. He condescended, took off his royal robes, despised the shame of the cross and all that he did because he just felt sorry for somebody. He did it to redeem you and to bring you into the recognition of who and what you really are. So the human part was necessary but not sufficient. The human part was not enough, but it was necessary. He became priest, and he also became the lamb sacrifice. Without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle. And when you allow the word concerning you to be lived in you, the word living in you and through you is without spot. Without wrinkle. Now, there will be others that are in this will. They're written in the will. There's, you know, even Cain had an opportunity. He said, Cain, I know that you can't receive revelation like your brother because the truth's not in you. You're not one of my attributes. You didn't come from my thinking. You're of your father, the devil. That's what it says in the New Testament. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and slew his brother Abel. There's only one wicked one. But God's not willing that any should perish. So he told Cain, I know you can't get revelation. Just go do what your brother did. And won't there be a place for you in my will? You're not the redeemed because you didn't come from me. But you can be saved. And Cain's reaction was, I'm going to make a choice here. I would rather go to hell than do that. Ain't no way I'm going to do what my brother did. So they're judged according to their works. And they'll be given life according to their works. So there will be others that are in his will that will be given an inheritance. Because God wrote something in his will for them also. And we're not here to look around, well, who? That's what people do in a will is being read. Who's going to get this? And who gets the house? I don't care about that. I want the money. I don't care about that. I want the horses, or whatever it might be. Everybody's sitting on the edge of their seat, waiting to hear where their part is in the will. So he says, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Now, I don't want to flatten you, but here it comes. This is the same way that you and I offer ourselves to God. That even though he was the God-man, if without the eternal Spirit, he couldn't have done it. He prayed in the garden, struggling with his own will, asking for help, asking for strength. And he was strengthened. And the angels came and ministered to him. Think that was just for him? He was an heir. We're joint heirs. Who was not ashamed to call you brothers. He was the first of many brethren. So, we offer ourselves, the human part of us, we sacrifice our will. We offer ourselves as a sacrifice. And then the eternal Spirit that dwells in us is a priest. And we are the sacrifice. Now, I'm not replacing our sacrifice with you, but I'm saying you sacrifice the same way. If we don't sacrifice ourselves, then the Spirit of God can't work through us or move through us. We say, Lord, I want to submit to your will. In fact, at some point we say, Lord, I want to know your will. And then we say, give me the grace to surrender to it, to not fight it, to not resist your will, but to say, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, what is your will for my life? Well, his will is his word. Isaiah 53 verse 10 says it this way, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Jesus Christ has a soul. Does that stumble anybody? How could we be joint heirs? How could we be brethren if he doesn't have a soul and I do? He is one, but he's not one like your little finger. That's where oneness went off. If he's all God and not a man, you still need a Savior. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. Wow, what a promise. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. Now, he knew this. You see the difference, and I realize this is a lot. Some of you have been in service with us. Some of you come only part-time. Some of you are here for the first time. So it's kind of hard to speak to everybody at the same level at the same time. And I don't want to go back and backtrack over everything. But I also don't want to leave you hanging there with some little doubts. Because this is airtight. It only works one way. God condescended, created himself in the form of the Word. And then the Word became flesh. Right? Now you're the same as him. Except you're not the expression of the fullness of God. God had a thought concerning you. As he said in the Old Testament to Israel before they went into bondage in Babylon, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. You're one of his thoughts being expressed. But instead of you going into the Word you came directly into flesh. And since you came directly into flesh and you were never in the Word, that's why you didn't know who you were. Or how you got here. Right? But as the Word comes to you, you hear from your theophany. As the Word comes to you, you begin to find out who you are and what you are. But He knew this when He became flesh. He knew that He was going to see His seed. He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. So the soul has a free will. But the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, couldn't change the soul. Because it was the blood of animals that was being shed, and the life of animals that was being offered. And this is human life. This is the soul of a man. And an animal doesn't have a soul. So an animal couldn't take your place. What an animal could do through the shedding of the blood and you being identified with your sacrifice, God allowed that to cover your sin, but not to take away your sin, and not to change the nature that's in the soul, which is the new birth. So the soul had a free will, and our will that we came into this life with was to run away from God. So God created a perfect soul to be offered in yours and my place. But the eternal could not stand as our high priest. But the eternal could create a soul and a body and dwell in it and intercede on our behalf through the sacrifice. John 10:15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for everybody. Words have meaning. If I tell you, Brother Dutch, if you clean up your room, I know this is childish, but if you clean up your room, I'll give you such and such amount of money. Now, I did not say, Brother JJ, if you clean up Dutch's room, I told him. I didn't say anything about you. Now, I might have something for you. But what I said to him is what I said to him. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. No greater love has one man for another than he lays down his life for one that's like him. For the sheep. You don't become a lamb. Remember we went through the parable in Matthew 13, the three parables that speak about redemption. The lost sheep, where he left the 99 to go after the one, and when he one was brought back, it was a sheep before it was lost. The prodigal son, he was a son before he was lost. And the lost coin, it was a coin before it was lost. The inscription didn't change, but it had to be found. Returned to its rightful owner. John 10:17. Therefore doth my Father love me. Why? Because I lay down my life. Now how do you know? What's one of the best evidences that you have that He loves you? It's that you lay down your life. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. So the Lamb does this through choosing the will of God, being chosen over the will of a man. Verse 18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. You guys didn't put me in prison. I wouldn't be in prison if I didn't allow myself to get caught. I disappeared many times when trouble was coming. This time I didn't. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. And I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So he's loved by God because he lays it down himself. You've chosen the harder way, but it's the right way. It's the correct way. And because of this choice that you've made, a great portion of heaven awaits you in the love divine. So he's loved of God because he lays down himself. It's up to us to choose also. We spun off the eternal one. But we also have a human will. And we have to make the choice. Not my will, but thy will. He knew that he was the Word when he came to the earth. But we bypassed that. But bypassing is only for a season. If you've been born again of the Spirit of God, or the Word of God, you're coming back to the Word. You heard from your theophany. Amen. Hebrews 9:15. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Those that are attributes of his thinking, his children, are those that are redeemed. As we've been going through this series, we looked at scriptures where he said, I thank you, Father, all that you've given me, you're going to come, I won't lose a one. Paul says you were chosen in him to be without spot or blemish, chosen before the foundation of the world. So the New Testament, what we call the New Testament, it did not come into a manifestation, I was going to say existence, but it existed in word form before it became written form. It did not come into existence until after the sacrifice was offered. We weren't aware of what this New Testament was. So he had to die before the will could be read. And in our case, we're really fortunate. We're really blessed because the one that died is the one that wrote the will. And the one that wrote the will rose again and is interpreting the will and is revealing the will to us personally. So we don't have to wonder, well, is this what did he really mean by what he said? And how do I know if I can trust this? Because the eternal spirit has made it known to us. But even though the New Testament was made known through Brother Paul and different ones, there were seals that were placed on the will. Oh, we could just go on and on and on with all the types and shadows. You know, if we were to talk about wills that are left, there are wills that where there's a certain amount of time that has to go by before something is unveiled and something is made known, and it's done for a reason. It's to protect, to keep things safe. Maybe somebody doesn't have the character yet, or maybe somebody else would do damage or whatever. Hallelujah. The word mediator is the translation of mesites, which refers to one who intervenes between two, either to make or restore peace and friendship. So it's God and man being reconciled back together. Either to make or restore peace and friendship, to form a compact, or to ratify a covenant. All things required in a testament are found, namely, a testator deceased, Christ Jesus, and then legacies bequeathed, and legacies are the things that are being read out of the will, temporal, spiritual, eternal blessings. And then the legatees, this is all legal terminology, but we want to keep it, it is simple, and we want to keep it simple. It's strange words, but we want to keep it simple. A legatee is named, so that's the person that's named in the will. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the children to the fathers of the children, lest I smite the earth with a curse. Behold, I will send you Elijah, and he, you're in the will. These are legatees. This is, you're named in the will throughout the will. But if you don't know who you are, you don't know where you're at in the will. Legatees, named the heirs of the promise. Conditions that are required, upon which only the legacies may be obtained. Faith, repentance, sincere obedience, seals annexed or seals taken off, baptism and the Lord's Supper, witnesses subscribing the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. You know, there are just some real basic things that you ought to watch out for. If you refuse foot washing, you're not in the will. That's not a suggestion, it's a commandment. If you skip communion, same thing. Oh, we're having spiritual communion. Well, then you won't mind having physical communion, then, will you? Because he commanded us to do this. Well, I don't think it's that important. Well, that's because you're not in the will. You got a liar talking to you. The truth isn't telling you that. The truth says do this. Man, it's when you start hitting, when rubber starts hitting the road, that's when you hear all the squealing and the squirming. Says who? Says the truth. We're just reading it right out of the will. We don't have any skin in the game. We don't have a dog in the fight. We want the truth. We are contrite. We know that we were wrong, and we want to be right. And before your hackles get up, we were all wrong. Every one of us. That's why we all have to repent. And we want to repent with zeal, with excitement. Thank you, Lord. Because if you didn't show me the truth, I wouldn't know that I was wrong. And if you didn't show it to me, I would miss the rapture. But because you love me, you, as many as I love, I chasten, I rebuke. Except for the smarty pants that won't receive correction amongst us. I hope that's nobody here, but it's not for me to decide. All I got to say is I don't have to beat you into this. Go back, and if you weren't here on a couple of Wednesdays ago, we preached a message called The Gift of Repentance. If you didn't hear that, you need to go hear it. Just to be able to repent is a gift. Because if he didn't show you where you're wrong, you couldn't repent. But then to have that opportunity and to squander it, say, I'm naked, I'm rich, I'm increased with goods, and I have need of nothing. Don't tell me what to do. He says, no, actually, that's not true. You're naked, wretched, blind, poor. And I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire. That thou mayest be rich, and white garment, that your nakedness doesn't appear. And you, anoint your eyes with eye salve. Get the matter out of your eyes. Well, this matters and that matters. And I'm, get all that, none of that matters. Get it out of your eyes. Anoint your eyes with the eye salve that's been given, the Malachi 4 eye salve. Which is the word that thou mayest see. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Praise the Lord. You know, it's hard to get anybody stirred up anymore. Unless it's a football game. Or a white-tailed deer. Hey, I'll admit it. It stirs me up, but sure don't stir me up like Jesus does. You can take this whole world, white tail and everything, but give me Jesus. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be death of the testator. So a testator is a person who has made a will or is given a legacy. So it's simple, right? Complicated word, but simple meaning. It's a guy that wrote the will. Mom and Dad, Uncle Joe, Aunt Susie, whoever it is, Jesus Christ. He's the testator of the will. He is the New Testament. So the will cannot come into effect among men until after the death of the one who wrote the will. So the thoughts of the testator are written in the will. And there are requirements that are written in the will. There are stipulations. There are conditions. And God calls prophets to make known to us what is in His will. Paul was anointed of the Spirit, the same Spirit of the testator, to reveal to us what His will is. And you and I, none of us understood His will the first time that we saw it. You know, the, kind of the saying is, well, it's all Greek to me. Well, the New Testament was written in Greek, so it was all Greek to all of us. It was all Hebrew. The Old Testament is, well, it's all Hebrew to me. Never ceases to amaze me that some people will grow a long beard and wear a hat or don't wear a hat, go live in Israel, call them Yeshua. They do all that to say that they're in the will. I don't care how you dress. I don't care what you do. That doesn't put you in the will. You were in the will before you got here. We're not trying to write a will or trying to get somebody to put us in the will. We're not trying to flatter, well, you know, maybe if I'll be good to God, He'll put me in His will. You're either in the will or you're not. It's finding out where you're at in the will. Well, that doesn't seem fair. What if I want to be bride? Well, then you probably are. Because if you aren't, you don't care. Or you don't even know that there is a bride. Well, praise the Lord. And there are also things that He chose, that He wrote in His will, that He said, I'm going to leave it sealed up. I'm not going to reveal that until the time of the end. Our day, in other words. And He has actually proven to us that it is His will by manifesting certain things in our day. And He continues to testify over and over and over, as we heard in the prayer before I came out, that this is His will. And He confirms it by bringing what He said to pass in your life. But you've got to claim it. You've got to confess it. You've got to line your testimony up with the testator. You got to say the same thing that the will says. Verse 25, wherefore, He is able also to save them to the uttermost. Oh, I love that. To the uttermost. I've been to the uttermost tabernacle in Chivac, Alaska. What's beyond that? Nothing. That's the uttermost. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Friends, He cannot fail. He's not going to lose a single one. This is not a gamble. This is not a trial. God's not trying to figure out who are His and who isn't. Who's going to make it? Who isn't? And He's going to, you know, raise up stones and at the last minute and throw some people in there because nobody was there. This is all done in His thinking. He cannot fail. Now, friends, the people that don't believe in predestination, they say if you preach it like that, then people are going to live soft, and you're going to live soft because of who you are. It's not going to cause you to live soft. In fact, it's not going to take the struggle out. It's not going to remove the trials. What it's going to do is give you power to overcome. Whereas you didn't have that before. Well, hallelujah. So, if you came from God, what is in the core of your being, whether it's quickened or whether it isn't quickened yet by the Holy Spirit, is spotless. Your old nature is filthy. But your new nature is from above. It's spotless. But it still, and I hope you're listening this morning, it still takes more than a spotless soul and a surrendered human will. Those things are both necessary but not sufficient. You must have a surrendered human will. And if your soul came from God, you will surrender. Because of who you are. But it takes the eternal spirit living in you to do what you cannot do. Hebrews 2:3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, by the Word, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? So confirmed first through the testator, the one that wrote the will. Spoken by the Lord. Lived by the Lord. Offered as a sacrifice in our behalf. And now that very same one comes and makes this same word live in you. It's all about Him. Friends, we're not another group that's saying, hey, we're exclusive. Come with us and you'll be there. Step out that door and you're lost. That's not what this is about. It's not building another organization of man. It's not kingdom building, although it is. But it's another kingdom, which He's building. But it's all about Him. I was thinking this morning, you know, you just run out of words to try to express. Imagine the frustration. You've got somebody standing here who's blind. And you're trying to explain to them that you saw red. You can come up with words where they'll imagine things and maybe even think they understand what you're saying. But if they can't see, they can't see. So I was thinking this morning, trying to, you know, I give my testimony. I got kicked out of a church or invited to leave a church over my testimony. I've been put out of fellowships over my testimony. Hey, it's my testimony. Oh, he's trying to take us back to Pentecost. He's trying to take us to this. He's trying to take us to that. Oh, we're beyond this, that, the other. And it's like, you're not hearing my testimony. My testimony is, I didn't know Him. And now I do. How can you know the person of truth and have the person of truth set you free and not know it? Call it Pentecost. Call it whatever you want. But it's the person of the Word. The person, it's the truth making Himself real to you beyond religion. Got to spend a little time with my son Mike yesterday. You know, I think the Salinases see more of him than I do. I think you ought to change his last name. I thank them for helping to support him. God bless you. Who did I make the check out to? No. Oh, they certainly love the Salinas family and the rest of you as well. It's a good thing, but we got to have a little fellowship. And we were talking about how you try to explain these things. And you know, and you're misunderstood. But it's your testimony. And I was explaining to him. So Desert Christian High School puts on plays. They have a play in the fall and a play in the spring, and the play in the fall is based on a musical, a play in the spring is based on a play, and what a concept. And it's a Christian high school. I can't help it, and I'll explain to you why. Wouldn't you expect it to be a Christian play? Why would you think that? Desert Christian High School? What an opportunity. Oh, well, there's just not that much material. Well, then write something. Get some inspiration. We don't need to take things from the world. And it grieves me. And I think it's especially hard on me because I grew up in religion. And I was told, this is Jesus, that's Jesus, this is Jesus. And I realized everybody that's telling me it's Jesus don't know who Jesus is. And none of them can point me to the real Jesus. Oh, sure, they pointed me to salvation. I'm thankful for that. I accepted the Lord. I got baptized. I was saved. And as long as I held my confession, I'd have salvation on their side. But I did not know the truth. How do you know? Because I wasn't free. I couldn't live right. You say, well, you just didn't try hard enough. It ain't based on you. It's based on Him. So man is religious by nature. And so those that are religious but don't really have that deep call to the deep that's down the inside, and guess what? We all do have that desire to know God. Otherwise, you could meet Him on that day and say, well, I just never thirsted for you. You did. But as we read in our open quote, what did you do with that thirst? So from the time I was 6 until I was 28, when I got around churches, I got around people that are drinking the same bathwater. They're telling themselves what they want to hear. And they're all looking at one another. We're right, aren't we? Right? Let's just say it, and that'll make it so. And if we all agree, then that's how it is. And they were satisfied with it, but it never satisfied this guy. Something down on the inside said, but what did he really mean? What is the truth? And I didn't know where to find the truth or how to find the truth, but there was a desire for the truth. And because of that, I couldn't live the life. And because of that, I didn't have the things that the Scripture said that I would have. Are you listening? So when I get around that, I would rather get around a bunch of bikers at a bar, honestly, because at least they are what they say they are. But to be around people that are pretending to know God, it makes me sick. Went to the play, the lady gets up, says, I'm going to say a prayer. When do you say prayers? Brother JJ, I'm going to say a conversation to you. Isn't that stupid? I wrote it all out. I'm going to read it to him, but I'm saying it to you. Yeah, it sounds like it. So you get this canned speech, and everybody feels good. And I'm thinking, well, did the guy that you were talking to hear you? Do you even care? Do you even know? Does it even matter? No. What matters is that we all think we're okay. Doesn't that sound like Laodicea? Yeah. You pulled me into this. I'm going to go. I'm going to back up the truck here. It's not about people. And somebody that's on the outside thinks, oh, you're picking on somebody this out there. I hate lies. I hate fake. I hate imposters. I want the truth. We're not perfect. What's in us is perfect. What's in us has been judged. What's in our soul is redeemed already. But we want the truth. We don't want to play church. Not interested in it. Does that make sense to you? I have respect for somebody that says, I'm a Muslim, and the woman doesn't wrap her hair and then wear a bikini. No, you're not a Muslim. You're just a Jack Muslim. Just like a Jack Christian. You're a Laodicean Muslim. Right? Yeah, hallelujah. And then we present that to the world. It's not what the world needs. The world needs Him. Well, if I stand with the Word, people are going to leave. You stand with the Word, He'll stay with you. And somebody's going to listen. Somebody's going to benefit. I don't have any friends. If you have Him, how many friends do you need? Sometimes God strips us of friends, so we'll quit leaning on other people. Part of it is this, you know, half the time when people leave church, it ain't over God. It's over social issues. Fall in love with Him, the church can do whatever it wants. You're going on with Him. I'm so disappointed in my church. Well, then quit looking at your church. Look at Him. I'm never disappointed. I come to hear from Him. I come to fellowship with Him. I come to walk with Him. I wish I could get people that doubt to see what I see. Because what I see is so plain. And I'm no different from anybody else that knows the truth, and the truth has made them free. Your eyes have been opened. The eyes of your... Blessed are he that hears... They that see, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You can't help but not hear it. My sheep know my voice. Well, praise the Lord. Pull over here in just a moment. God also, Hebrews 2:4, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. In other words, we don't make these things happen, but we believe. And because we believe, He makes these things happen according to His divine will, which is His Word. You want to know what His will is? Look in His Word. Glory to God. From the commentaries, in all deeds disposing of property among men, there are certain conditions to be observed in order to establish the validity of the claim. In some cases, the estate is conveyed, charged with various encumbrances. So, you know, in other words, there are certain restrictions that are put on the estate. The observance of certain specified acts is necessary to the legal holding of the property. There are things that are written in the Word that there has to be certain acts that take place in order for the will to be in effect. These signs shall, these signs might, these signs maybe, unless I don't do them anymore, unless you're in the group that all gets together and agrees, well, those things don't happen anymore, do they? These signs shall follow them that believe. Well, I don't believe it. Well, of course it ain't going to follow you because you're an unbeliever. There's no promise to an unbeliever, but it's to the believer. These signs shall follow them that believe. These acts are made apparent to those that are heirs of the will. Oh, I'm not a sign seeker. Why would you say I don't want any evidence of His presence in my life? That's just stupid. Excuse me, but really, go do something that you believe. Amen. So not everybody's going to receive the message. And we don't know who will and who won't. And it's none of our business. Those that are in His will, the elect of God, chosen in Him, they will find themselves in the will. They will hear the message, as I did. And then they'll wonder for a few years, why didn't I hear it sooner? And then they will share what they have heard and seen with others as the Spirit leads. And through this, others will find their part in the will. And we do this as we're led of the Spirit. Some will be saved, and that's a wonderful thing. Not willing that any should perish. Some will be sanctified. Wonderful. Some will be heirs. Joint heirs with the executor of the will. So it's not up to you and I to determine who is in the will and what their portion is. It's up to us to tell others that there is a will and who the testator of the will is and to come and see. Some will have an inheritance in the will just based on the fact that they're family. And some because of the compassion of the testator that's not willing that any should perish. Matthew 11:28. Quickly now. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is a promise. This is speaking of the release from the burden of sin. This is salvation. But read on. That's one part of the will. Verse 29. Take my yoke. Take. That's something that you do. This is conditional. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. Two things. Take, learn. And learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, the one that you're being yoked with. And you shall find rest unto your souls. Well, wait a minute. I thought you said He will give me rest. He did say He would give you rest from the burden of sin. But this is rest for your soul. This is a change. This is where the old nature dies. And a new nature comes in. And now there's rest in your soul. And you can say, it is well with my soul. And He'll say back to you, well, you know, I wish that you were in health and that you would prosper in health, even as your soul is prospering in health. So this verse speaks of the conditions that determine whether or not you are given this rest. If you don't take His yoke upon you, if you just believe on Him, believe of Him, but you don't yoke yourself with Him by choice, if you're not yoked together with Him, and you cannot be yoked with Him and stay the way you are, one of you has to change. Two cannot walk together except they be agreed. So you learn of Him, and this word literally means that you know Him. You come to know Him. You come to know the truth. So the rest comes to the soul only after you take and you learn. You take His yoke upon yourself, which means you've got to go through a process of sanctification. Because He's going to clean you up. You learn of Him. The truth sets you free. So the first verse is the forgiveness of sin. And the second verse is the freedom from the nature of sin. John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now notice, this is should not perish, but have everlasting life. That word believeth means commit unto, commit one's trust to think to be true, to be persuaded of, to credit, to place confidence in. So in other words, if you don't commit your life to Him, then you don't have eternal life. Because you're not going to be given eternal life unless you've committed your... You have no life. You have to give up your life to gain life. That's what He said. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. The world was already condemned. But that the world through Him might be saved. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." So it's not enough to just thirst, but you have to come. And then it's not enough to just come and gawk, but you have to drink. Well, hallelujah. "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Now, if you don't come, or if you come and you don't drink, how can it flow out of you? Romans 10:8. "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is the word of faith which we preach. "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead," what does it say? "Thou shalt be redeemed." This is a different part of the will. "Thou shalt be..." Doesn't say sealed. Doesn't say... It says saved. I believe that. I want as many... If that's as far as a person comes, I want them to come there. They'll be given life at the great white throne judgment. But this is only speaking of salvation, which is wonderful. I'm not minimizing it at all. One soul is worth more than 10,000 worlds. But this isn't eternal life yet. Verse 10. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's simple, and it is that simple. If we're not careful, we'll make that hard. Oh, no, you got to believe this, that, and the other, and you got to have this, that, and the other, you got to go. No, it's easy. You actually have to try to go to hell. And if we're trying to condemn the world, Jesus didn't. If we're trying to condemn others because they don't know what we know, well, you don't know what you ought to know yet. Because if you know Him, He's going to try and save the world. So we believe this, but it doesn't say redeemed. That's in another part of the will. "How then shall they..." Oh. How can we have this great message and leave this out? We can't. "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in Him of whom they have not heard?" How are they going to hear? Press play and obey. "And how shall they hear without a tape player and somebody to pre-filter it for us? Tell us what He meant by what He said and leave out the other things that He said that contradicted what He just said. Not what the guy on the tape said, but what the guy said that he said." Oh, that must be a mistake. This is what Paul preached. We believe what Paul preached. Verse 15. "And how shall they preach except the organization sends them?" It's not what it says. "As it is written, how ugly are the feet." People that have foot fetishes, here's a place where you ought to be looking. You want to look at feet, you want to look at the minister's feet. Because they're beautiful. I think feet are ugly, but ministers' feet are beautiful. Want to see? Wow. Josh A. Banks. I got his socks on. Wonder if he minds. How beautiful are the feet of them that push play. That don't even sound right, does it?
Right.
It's like I so appreciate our musicians. Everyone that has a part in this body, I appreciate that. But sometimes a string will break, right? And it makes an uncertain sound. And then you got to try to cover up for it, right? Or try to play around it, right? Boing! I guess it could even hurt you, right? Metal string, maybe even a plastic one. I don't know. I don't do it. I tried for a little bit, but it hurt my fingers, so I quit. But a real guitar player will push through that, get calluses. Just like a real preacher, he'll lose his voice, but he'll push through that.
Right.
He'll get calluses on his vocal cords. How shall they preach except they be sent? Well, who's going to send them? How about the guy that wrote the will? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of? I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. And bring glad tidings. Well, today's lesson, do this. Don't do that. I heard you did such and such. We're going to bring you before the whole church. We're never going to forget it. We're going to preach it, preach it, preach it. Even after you repent, we're going to bring it up. Excuse me, I missed the glad tiding. Where was the good news in that? We don't even want to hear about that. Right? We want to cover sin. I mean, not put it under the carpet, but put it under the blood. Bring glad tidings of good things. Oh, man, you ought to come to our church. Why? Because we don't do this, and we do that, and we don't do this. Why would I want that? When the truth has come to set us free, we have not the spirit of bondage again to fear. But we have the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Father, Father. I came from you. I recognize that now. My spirit bears witness with your spirit that I am a son of God or a daughter of God. I can't confess that you are the Christ except by the Holy Ghost. So who sent these guys? Well, headquarters, of course. Which one? The one in heaven. He ascended upon high. He gave gifts unto men. It's in the will. The will hasn't changed. And if Paul were to raise today and hear some of the ridiculous things that people are saying that the will said. 1 Timothy 2:3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. And to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So, this is his desire. But it's not his will in the sense that he predestinated it. Because those that he predestinated, they were chosen. They were justified. They were sanctified. They were glorified before they even got here. How? In his thinking. And there's nothing that's going to stop it. He's going to do the work. He made a covenant. He's going to keep it. He's going to keep both sides of the covenant. He's going to keep the word that he said towards you. And he's going to make sure that the word that he said towards you is lived out. By him coming in you to do what you cannot do. Friends, I believe we can overcome. Well, if I could only overcome this. Well, quit trying. That's the problem. I did that myself for 22 years in religion. If I could just quit this. If I could just be good enough. Well, the gooder you get in your thinking, the more sinful things become. And you begin to realize there were things that you thought were okay that weren't okay. So it isn't a matter of you doing this or not doing that. It's a matter of you getting Him. It's a matter of you surrendering, dying out to yourself and saying, Lord, let Thy word be done. Let Thy will be done on earth, in earth, as it is in heaven, in Your will. Let it be lived out in me. I believe Your word. Help my unbelief. Take out anything that's, I don't know my heart, but let Your word come and wash me. Let it come inside and scrub away imaginations and reasonings and wrong teachings and all these things that exalt themselves above Your word. Let me stand on Your word and Your word alone. I don't have to have the answer. I don't have to explain everything. But I do have to believe. And the wonderful part about believing is that in time God will help your understanding too. But if you insist on understanding, you skip the believing part, you'll never see. How many knows that's true? Friends, He will keep you. There's a keeping power. It's not that I'm stronger than you. I'm ashamed of the things that I've done. I'm ashamed of, and I'm not going to repeat it. And don't worry, it doesn't disqualify me. But there are things that I've done, I'm so ashamed of it that I don't want to tell anybody. Right? But on the other side of it, if He could do for me, I'm not that guy anymore. I'm not doing those things anymore. I'm not going around making excuses any longer. I'm not going around saying, well, it's because I was around the wrong crowd or whatever. Or I had the wrong teaching. I'm without excuse now. But it's not me. But it's Christ that's in me. I have given myself to Him. He has made Himself known to me and set me free from a sinful nature. So I'm not on the ski slopes this morning. If you go skiing every now and then, that's fine. But if you're skiing on Sunday, every Sunday, something's wrong with you. Well, I don't think so. Well, that's because you ain't born again. Get a birth. It'll change you. Because God wants to go to church. As was His custom, He stood up and read the scrolls on the Sabbath. As was His custom, He was in church. So in that sense, it's not do's and don'ts. Friends, it can be the very same thing, but it's completely different. One person can come and say, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. You're out if you do this, you're in if you do that. And bring it from such a hard, critical, no grace, no mercy, but it's all, you know, you better not make a mistake, so now it's fear, and now it's you. Or God can come and write these things in your heart. You know, I don't like it when you do this, and I don't like it when you do that. I'm going to take that desire out of your heart for that. Don't worry about it. Just ignore it. You're struggling with this certain thing, and you're struggling, and Satan's telling you you don't have a chance, and you're not going to go any further, and you're beating your head against it. Don't struggle with it. Just forget it. Go around it. Put your trust in me. Surrender. And then my spirit in you will overcome that thing in you that you can't do. And that'll make you love Him that much more. And you won't want to do it anymore, even though you can. All things are legal, but not all things are expedient. Two different descriptions of the very same thing, but one's real and one isn't. One's trying to be something and one is something. By the grace of God. How many knows what I'm talking about? How many can say this morning, you know, I know that if this was all based on me, I'd be lost. I'd probably be dead. I probably would have killed myself and a bunch of other people many times over. Out of stupidity, whatever. I'd probably still be smoking a cigarette or whatever it was. Amen? If it wasn't for Him. But I'm here to tell you this morning, friends, there's keeping power. You're not going to overcome because you worked harder. You're going to overcome because you worked less. You surrendered. And the hardest thing, evidently, for us to do is surrender. We go through grade school and junior high and or middle school, whatever they call it now, and high school and whatever. And all of it is about be all you can be. And, you know, if you try and you achieve and this and that and the results and individual achievement and all of that. And then we come to God and God says, no, Paul, that isn't how it is. No, Moses, you know, you're next in line to be Pharaoh. Let me take you out on the backside of the desert and train you for another 40 years. And take all of that junk out of you. What I want you to do is not do. It's not doing. It's not doing. Stop. Surrender. Lay it down. And say, Lord, not my will, but thy will. Let your word do in me what you said in the will that you would do. I've met these conditions of the will. Now I'm believing that you're going to do this other part of the will. You with me? Well, hallelujah. What a thanksgiving. I need another language. Apache something, I don't know. I don't know how to explain what he means to me and what he's done for me and my confidence in him compared to what I was. He's going to keep me. I'm not afraid I'm going to fall away. Well, you're putting too much confidence in yourself. You see, it's all based on knowing him. I trust him. I know him personally. And he told me in his will, I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. I'm going to be with you even until the end. I'm going to see that you make it through. I swear by myself. I don't swear by you. I put Adam on a covenant. If you do this, I'll do that. Adam couldn't keep his part. So I'm making a covenant like I've made to Abraham. Abraham, this is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to see that you become the fulfillment of what my word declares concerning you. 30 years and counting now. Couldn't go 1 week with religion. 30 years. I haven't found another wife. Although I did get married a second time. Was that 20 years or 25? 25. I guess I shouldn't admit that I couldn't. Anyway, love you, honey. I haven't smoked another cigarette. And I was the addict, 3 packs a day sometimes. An addict. Got drunk on the weekends. I could go on and on and on. But that guy's dead. And it's not me, but it's Christ who's working in me. He's keeping. There's a scripture I memorized. There's many, many scriptures, and I'm so thankful for it. I'm thankful for everything that God has given me along the way. But there are scriptures that we memorized when we were going to the Baptist church. And my dad would get us up in the morning and have us memorize. And we'd memorize in different classes or whatever. And then God came along one day and told me what it meant. But it becomes a part of you. And then when he reveals it to you, you're glad that you learned that instead of some rap song or that you can't get out of your head or elevator song or Beatles song. But it goes like this. I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. They made a song out of it, right? I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And there's several verses that goes with it, right? Those words are my words. I said those words. They're in the will. Those words are part of me. And you know why it was revealed to me in this day? You know why the message came across your path in this day? You want to know why? Because you didn't know who you were. But the message comes along to show you. This is you. This is who you are. This is not who you're trying to be. This is not what you're conforming to. This is who you really are. You shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. We read this, we'll stop. Second Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let me ask you, is everyone going to come to repentance? So this is another part of the will, now is it? Because he doesn't say that about his own. He doesn't say, all that the Father has given me, some of them will come, and I'll lose some along the way. He said all. That you, every son and daughter of God, they're going to come. But he's willing that none should perish. He's making this available to anyone. Eternal salvation and receiving eternal life on the day of judgment. So, this is speaking of, he's not willing that any should perish. So this is speaking of people coming to repentance, not being bride. Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. So notice, here's one group. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Well, how is the Spirit saying, come? Through the bride. You can't see a spirit or hear one, but the Spirit is in the bride. The Spirit and the bride say, come. So what do we say? Come. And let him that heareth say, come. So you say, come. Then some hear. Let them say, come. And let him that is athirst come. So this is another group. It doesn't say the bride is athirst. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will. That's not the Spirit and the bride. They're saying the same thing. She's saying the same thing that he said. She is staying with his word. And whosoever will. Let him take the water of life freely. So this is something that somebody has to do. And it's based on whether they do it or not. They'll be given life. See the different parts of the will? This is what the will says. In the organizations, you'll get it through a certain organizational filter. But it won't fit all the way through. And if you're honest, down in your heart, you'll admit that. You'll say, okay, there's lovely people that I've been associating with. And I'm not unchristianizing any of them. But what's the truth? How does this all fit together? One way. Well, how can I know it? You have to know him. United with the Eternal One. Let's stand. You love him? Looks like we didn't need a heater. It's actually getting warm in here, isn't it? musicians could come, please. Hallelujah. So some people wonder, why does it seem like when we come to church that it's a battle? This whole thing's a battle. Well, I didn't join this to be part of a war. Well, whose army are you in? Because the war was here before you got here. But which side are you on? Are you going to take sides with truth or take sides with a lie? I think we could all agree you wouldn't be here if you didn't want the truth. There's a lot of things that we could do this morning that's more appealing to the flesh. Nothing wrong with skiing. That sounds pretty good, you know. If I was a little younger, had a few more dollars. Nothing wrong with that at all, but that's not where I'd want to be today. Right? If you want to go to Disneyland, go ahead. Don't need my permission. Right? But don't live there. And don't start thinking that your name is Mickey. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we're so thankful at this Thanksgiving time of the year, Lord. We're thankful for the family and the friends and loved ones. We're thankful, Lord, for the food that we'll be partaking of here shortly. And but Lord, all of that would be meaningless if we didn't know You. Lord, there's a hunger and a thirst that's placed down in the heart of every human being to know You. And to come to know You is to love You. We don't even know what love is until You first love us, and we experience that expression of Your great love by setting us free and taking our sin from us, washing us in the water of Your Word and in the blood. Lord, as You intercede on our behalf, as You bring Your truth to us, You tell us what's real and what isn't, what's true and what isn't, what we should confess and where we should hold our peace. Lord, we're so thankful for a place to come to worship You. And Lord, if You would tarry, we want to be found at our post of duty. If You were to come tonight, Lord, I'd want to be. And I know that I'm going to minister here tonight. But if you told me right now that the rapture is coming tonight, I wouldn't change one thing. Amen. You haven't moved on my heart to do anything different. You put on my heart to minister Your word. I'd want to be found doing, Lord, the little things. You'll make sure I get the big things. Father, I pray that You'd move upon each and every heart here this morning. I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone that doesn't know You in the power of Your resurrection, that doesn't know You personally, has not been set free by the truth, Lord, we know that it's the truth is here this morning. Your presence is here. And Lord, it's not a complicated thing. We make it so complicated. We think, okay, I got to do this and stop doing that and do this. And Lord, we put all these conditions on it, but You just said, come. Lord, the part that we do is to surrender to You. To give ourselves over to You. May we do that, Lord. Father, no doubt the majority, if not all, I don't know. But Lord, no doubt the majority knows You personally. And Lord, we'd like to surrender to You a little bit more. See You manifested in a greater way. By getting ourselves out of the way so that, Lord, others, and particularly, Lord, any throughout the year. We don't want to just do this certain times of the year. But Lord, this being a season when people begin to reflect on what's real and what isn't. And they look to different ones to be around and to spend time with, to fellowship with. Lord, may we be conscious of that. May we be sensitive. May we be surrendered, Lord, so that if we could be a blessing to someone else, if we could be a help to someone else, if we could lead somebody to the truth. Father, it's up to You to take him and to keep him. And Lord, we know that nobody can come except You first draw. But Lord, we know that there's something there for everyone. And it would be our desire, Lord, that we would not do anything or say anything or act in a manner that's unbecoming, that might stumble somebody that otherwise might have come for a drink. But Lord, we want to get ourselves out of the way, get ourselves out of the picture, so that others can see the true Christ of the Bible living and breathing and walking and doing the very things that You said that You would do in Your church body. Grant it this morning, Lord. I pray that Your blessings would be upon each and every one. I pray, Lord, that You'd go with us as we fellowship throughout the day, that You, Lord, bring us back to for what You have for us this evening. And Lord, may we be surrendered and submitted in the greater measure, we pray. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes.